You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it is a good evening to you, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of this show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. Can you believe it? This is the last time for this year we are having this conversation, and what a way to end it by bringing, of course, a friend of this show. It is Ronald Nyamukua, who will be our last guest for this year. That is the last one for our Tech and Innovations Tuesday. We are back next year with Tech and Innovations. That much I can tell you, we are not going to back down. No, we are not. Definitely not, because this is a very, very important topic and remains very important, right? And today we're talking about the future trends in digital transformation there. And digital transformation has gone from a boardroom buzzword to critical strategic priority. But it seems that we are still only witnessing the birth of the digital transformation industry. And in this conversation, we will identify a key and a few key trends that are to shape the future of digital transformation. And joining us this evening once again, it is Ronald. And good evening, sir, and welcome once again to the show.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. Really appreciate you. You are the last guest for this year. We just need to first give you your flowers. You've done really amazing this year at giving us some insights. And we just want to say thank you to you. We really appreciate you.
I'm honored to run with you on the last course.
Thank you
for always speaking of me.
Fantastic. Really appreciate you. And thank you so much for your time. Let's get right into it then. We're talking about the future trends in digital transformation. I know we've touched on these aspects here and there in our previous discourse and conversations there, but let's define digital transformation. It sounds like a big, big word and maybe intimidating for some people, but what are we talking about when you're talking digital transformation?
So with digital transformation, we're looking at how we are changing from a world where everything was online, and now everything is becoming accessible online. We've established new ways of doing business, new ways of connecting with people, new ways of removing the practical boundaries where you had to spend so many thousands of dollars to go and see the Niagara Falls from wherever you are. You can now just get into a VR headset and take a tour from the comfort of a school or a home. Yeah, so it's, I see a bright future when I think of the word.
Yeah. Do you think this transformation is leaving certain people behind? And I know we're going to get into just the nitty-gritties of it, but this transformation, as you explain it, do you think there's certain people, countries, especially in the African continent, that are left behind?
Yeah, so
it's
interesting because unfortunately, due to different challenges that we have, especially in Africa, you know, we've got infrastructure gaps, we've got limited internet access, and we have high cost of hardware as well. And we also have a skills gap, a lack of widespread digital technology compared to developed nations, even policy and investments, you know, no adoption of supportive frameworks for startups and digital ecosystems. So there's definitely a gap. And we are lagging. However, we are seeing a bit of change and slow adoption. We've got innovation from necessity. So you see startups addressing unique challenges like informal sector and got solutions that are being built. I know for one, we are building a mobile application to help the vendor the person who's selling tomatoes by the street corner.
Yeah.
They don't have to formal financial services, so the developing network that can actually help them to keep track and replace them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's how it's properly ordered. So the beauty about it, even though we are remaining behind, the type of technology that's coming up
is
coming from necessity.
Yeah. It's coming from necessity. Really, really love that. Do you think, again, there are countries that are really now almost right at the forefront in the African continent? I'm thinking now Kenya is coming quite really strong. I heard Malawi is also coming quite really strong in digital transformation as well. And then, of course, you've got those old ones, your South Africa, Nigeria and all that. But are we seeing a trend where Africa is, although lagging, but we are seeing some offshoots here and there?
Yeah, so maybe let's start from a global perspective, right?
Yeah.
We are seeing AI and machine learning becoming the mainstream in decision making. You've got predictive analysis. You've got edge computing and 5G, like real time data. You've got media applications, transitioning gaming to virtual workplaces. From gaming to work, virtual workplaces and education. And when we come down to Africa, because of these trends that are happening worldwide, we've got mobile technology that's at the height of Africa, smartphone penetration, mobile first solutions are transformed, like M-Pesa, right? As you mentioned, M-Pesa, and we've got e-government.
Yeah.
In countries like Rwanda and Kenya, they are also pioneering digital public services. You also even have digital inclusion. So you've got to extend internet access in rural areas, and this is not just this is also even where you really accepted the introduction of Starlink and Wi-Fi hubs.
Yes. I think Starlink has really disrupted the African market, because almost everyone is talking about how Starlink is having an impact. And I thought that's an interesting one there. Okay, let's then go back for the sake of our listeners as well and paint this picture. Maybe can you give us a brief history of where we've come from? Maybe take us through the last, 4 or 5 decades or so. What are some of the innovations that you have seen, particularly in this digital transformation space, as an expert in the space?
That's a very good one. Okay, so maybe let's start from, let's say, 1980 to 1990.
Yeah.
We saw the introduction of computers and internet revolutionized communication, data processing, the World Wide Web. That was probably the foundation for digitization.
Yeah.
We get into the 2000s with the rise of mobile technology, smartphones, e-forms, early stages of social media networks like Facebook, LinkedIn. This also helped with interconnectedness between different countries and continents. Around 2010, we started seeing cloud computing, big data analytics, AI. They made a concept of tools enabling businesses to scale, innovate, and personalize experiences. So, digital ecosystems, Amazon and Google thrived very well from that time. Yeah. Then, recently, 2020, which was also accelerated by COVID-19.
Yeah.
There was a massive leap in work tools. That's where you started seeing Zoom, Slack, also Internet of Things. And this area emphasized digital in business, government, and education.
Yeah.
So that's just maybe an overview of 5 years.
Indeed, indeed. And would you say these were necessitated by consumer preferences, this kind of digital transformation, or maybe it was an inevitable as we go through, I suppose, life and change and demands of this world, we are forced to digitally transform, or maybe it was something else that led to these transformations? I mean, from the computers, like you're saying, to then the mobile apps, to the mobile phones, I suppose, 1998, if I'm not wrong, when Google also came to the picture. All these transformations, were they driven by a need, or it was an inevitable, in your opinion?
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Because especially with leapfrogging technology, right?
Yeah.
We had your legacy system.
Yeah.
And they were skipped in favor of mobile. And
yeah.
First solution. So, I mean, if someone was in China and he wanted a way of being in Zimbabwe or South Africa, you would, because of, I'll give you an example. I've spoken to some Chinese guy, and he always requested that we Telegram. Okay. I think it made it better. It was better facility at the time. It was better facilities for communication. Because you have WhatsApp in China. So you find, you say, use Telegram. If I didn't go to that time, I would then often to Telegram, you know, and you can actually communicate. So because I want to do business with someone, they need to know about a technology. So it's a
difficult. A bit of both. Okay, that makes sense. And that was the question that I was having in my mind, to say, is the tail wagging the dog here, or is the dog wagging the tail? What really is driving this type of transformations? And it sounds like if it's a bit of both, we are still going to see this type of transformations actually taking place as well. Some might have even called it revolutions. You know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth revolution and all those sort of stuff. That's where the world is going. Okay, we are wrapping up 2024 now. Can you take us some of the digital trends that you've seen in 2024, the world over, and maybe in particular this continent? And bits of it, you've touched on it when we started, but I want us then to really frame it, 2024 digital transformation, the world and then the continent.
Okay. So probably looking into the future a bit, and also maybe 2024, 2025, we are seeing a bit of AI and automation, decentralized technology, human-centric designs, and you're going to see a bit more of agriculture and farming.
Yeah.
So you've got smart farming, drones, IoT sensors, AI for precision farming.
Yeah.
We'll also see blockchain.
Yeah.
Supply chain improving transparency in farm to market processes.
Yeah.
Right. I also recently found out about a term called AgriFintech.
Okay.
It's mobile platform providing credits, insurance and resources to smallholder farmers. And also in education, we are seeing edtech platforms that are improving personalized and hybrid learning. So you see the introduction of gamification, right? I'm sure, especially in education, I'm very passionate about that. You realize because of the different learning abilities through personalized and game. Based on the new competence of each student, they can still learn the concepts delivered to them by the teacher by the end of the school term. But it's perfect then, based on the analysis that's done by the system, and they are able to learn and also benefit from the classroom at the end of the semester.
Yes.
So we'll also see change. Telemedicine, AI in diagnostics, you know, in government, digital IT systems, smart systems, e-government, I could go on and on.
Yeah. Would you say they've started this year, as you are seeing them into 2025 and 2026, would you say the base of those was this year or maybe prior years?
Well, I mean, the introduction of technologies had already started, right? They had already started. Just probably going forward, we'll start seeing the application.
Mm.
But they have been already started being applied in different situations. And again, based on the rate of adoption and infrastructural challenges, that's also been affected the rate of adoption.
So, yeah.
While it's an existing system in other countries, it may seem like something new in the countries here in Africa due to those other small challenges.
Okay, talking about then the agricultural or farming sector, and this one is really of great interest for me, and I think a couple of others in this space as well. So it seems like the face of farming is changing, whether you're doing crop farming or livestock farming or any other in between. It seems like that's taking a bit of a change there. Are we seeing that also in Africa?
That exists in Africa. I mean, I've heard of a farm in Buru, a place in Zimbabwe. That farm is run by sisters, right? So the guy has reduced his employees. I think from around 100 to maybe 10, and he's got greenhouses and he's got cameras, he's got all these IoT sensors, which can give you a daily report of the growth going on around an individual plant, right? So if a plant still has water, the pipe is not going to add more water. But if it's starting to wilt, it's going to add whatever fertilizer plants. If there is weeds, it's going to spray the necessary weeds. It's amazing. And it's happening. It's not widespread, but we've got unique cases that
I see exactly what you mean. Okay. What are some of the challenges then that may threaten to hold us back as Africa or slow us down in terms of this digital transformation that we need to look out for, both in agriculture, in education, health sector? What are some of those challenges we should look out for?
Infrastructure
deficits.
So we still have a lot of power outages. Those challenges are there everywhere. But these main challenges, if you've got a system that's monitoring your plants, if you don't have access to solar power or backup, then you're going to have a bit of challenges. Limited internet connection, although that's becoming a bit of a we're slowly starting to see more widespread access to you know. And we also don't have the same type in emerging markets as well. That's all on the deficit. Let's talk about policy measures as well. You know, slow regulatory adaptation to new technologies and can also hinder innovation. You know, resistance to change.
Now, I was asking in these infrastructure challenges ones that you're speaking about, is there a role for government here, or is there a role for public-private partnerships, if you like? Because it sounds like a massive task that business can't take on its own, communities and civil society can't take on their own. I suppose government as well can't take on their own. There's a need for public-private partnerships.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a way to go. And we have a lot of for such partnerships. The government has been publicly inviting these kind of partnerships, players who, with the capacity to help in spaces. I think that's one thing that the Zimbabwean government has also done very well.
Yeah.
They have openly said, look, let's work together. Very fundamental. With the road infrastructure, we are very, very clear who came in to who was given portion of the road. And that is still ongoing. So I'm sure we're given this. We need for buy-in from both individuals, private players, and the government itself. And
Yeah, that's really important. And you were still explaining from a policy point of view there. I disturbed you. I'm really interested in how do you see the policy being promulgated, particularly to support this digital transformation in the African continent, for that matter? Because if I think about, and I've seen a lot of papers being written around how the world is changing digitally, and there's been quite a lot of policy promulgations from your so-called first world countries to enable an environment where this transformation takes place. Why is African government not coming to the party and putting up such promulgations and laws as well?
So today there is no regulatory adaptation. We always hinder that innovation, but also remember that we are at the mercy of the advancement in technology. With every new technology, you even have cybersecurity risks. You know, you've got the risk of having hackers and attackers on the system. So it is very important. I think it's a good move to say, look, we may not have the capacity to implement this until a certain point where someone, a private player, or someone comes up and says, I've got the capacity to manage this new kind of technology, then we can run with this. But I think it's also a good move, because you may adopt something, and it can also then expose you and you know, you never know what you can lose from that. So yes, it's a challenge, but as long as we don't have the necessary capacity or the capacity to manage this, we have to.
And maybe as we close then around, what is the biggest risk here if we don't have government setting up such and enabling that environment? What would we be losing as a continent? Are we still going to be left behind when the world is moving?
Sorry, please come again.
I was saying that do you think that if governments don't do, you know, things like the infrastructure, create the partnerships that will allow them to also put up policies and not really be slow in the policies and amalgamation of those policies, what's the risk here? Are we risking being left behind?
If I'm getting you correctly, you're asking if government takes time to adopt this technology, do you risk remaining behind?
Yeah, so what's the risk of us as a continent remaining behind if we don't put the infrastructure and if we don't put up legislation that would enable us to then take advantage of future digital transformation processes and all the inventions that are going to come up?
Okay, I get you. It's been breaking up a bit.
No problem.
Some of the risks that come with this is that we will still have more generations that grow up and exist in a world which hasn't been exposed to the relevant and current technology. Mm. I mean, I always think of the space of software development.
Mm.
We've got 9-year-olds in other countries who are developing, who are good or who are proficient with software development. A skill that we start learning about here in Zimbabwe or in Africa, generally at university level, fine, slowly coming down to high school.
Mm.
But those cases are counted, right? So we always be behind.
Mm.
You will find that people, Africans, will always struggle to compete.
Mm.
Imagine if someone who started perfecting a skill 9 years before you start, right? The ground will never be level. So if you decide to move to another country, you will struggle, or you will overcome it, because your education space, you are kind of limited. So that's the major risk. The other risk is that you will always remain important of solutions.
Yeah.
Where we should be in solutions, Africa builds mobile applications, and we are the ones who are providing
solutions.
The longer we think, the less time we have to actually become, we used to be the breadbasket in agriculture.
Yeah.
Right? So the longer we can never be the breadbasket of technology.
Yeah.
You know, we can never then have an African Silicon Valley where we're seeing people come and look at us, you know.
Yeah.
The same way we always have people learning here maybe up to matric, and then they go abroad to go and learn. So we need to adopt them so that Africa becomes a place where people are learning or are coming to learn the latest technology.
Yes, yes.
But it's a process.
Yeah, it's a process, right? Yeah, it's definitely a process. Well, Ronald, thank you so much. I just want to take the time to say thank you for joining us every time on this show. We really, really appreciate you. How do we round it up as you do that? May you also tell us a little bit about your business and where can people find you and your services?
Okay, so we are a tech education company.
Mm.
We are into training. We're into web development.
Mm.
We build systems.
Mm.
And we are located in Harare. We're also available online.
Yeah.
Our social media handles solutions. Feel free to reach out if you need solutions.
Yeah.
If you need training, if you need capacity building,
yeah,
we can offer you that.
Amazing. May you have a blissful rest, my brother. It has been a pleasure having these conversations with you this year, and I pray and hope we can connect again in the year 2025.
Absolutely, I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for always remembering me. Yeah.
Yes, I appreciate you, man, and have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you so much. That was the elder Ronald there talking to us once again about the future of, I suppose, technological, digital transformation and all those nicer things, right? Yeah, we are here and we are transforming as a continent.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.